Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 9, day 4 of the study of 1 Samuel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Samuel 26, 13 through 25. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.com and download the reading plan for 1 Samuel and follow along reading or listening to it 10 times in 10 weeks. If you're enjoying the 10-Week Bible Podcast, I encourage you to check out the 10-Week Bible Study Series in print. You can find easy links to buy them on Amazon.com by going to 10weekbible.com. I'm also excited to announce that the Book of John should be available for purchase on Amazon. So if you've been looking forward to buying the 10-Week Bible Study on the Book of John, it's going to be available on Amazon.com by the time you hear this podcast. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us and fill our hearts with your revelation into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. We'll be reading today, as always, from the NIV. And if you're interested in why I've chosen the NIV, it's because I find it the easiest to read on air. There's plenty of translations out there, and I enjoy reading many different translations. I like to read when I'm doing my studies of the Bible. I like to change the translations that I study in, that I read the Bible in, so that I can kind of get a different perspective on some of the difficulties and challenges that the translators have sometimes translating these very ancient languages into modern English. So there's plenty of great translations out there in New King James. If you like the King James and you can read in it, that's great. Read whatever is most comfortable for you. Find a translation and read whatever is most comfortable for you. I can't stress this enough. Just get the word in you. Doesn't matter what translation it is. Just get it in you. I read from the NIV because it reads well on air, and that's the only reason I read from the NIV. With that, let's go ahead and jump into 1 Samuel chapter 26, starting in verse 13. Then David crossed over to the other side and stood on top of the hill some distance away. There was a wide space between them. Verse 14, he called out to the army and to Abner, son of Ner, "Aren't you going to answer me, Abner?" Abner replied, "Who are you that calls out to the king?" David said, "You're a man, aren't you? And who is like you in Israel? Why didn't you guard your lord the king? Someone came to destroy your lord the king. What you have done is not good. As surely as the Lord lives, you and your men must die because you did not guard your master, the Lord's anointed. Look around you. Where is the king's spear and water jug that were near his head?" Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" David replied, "Yes, it is, my lord the king." And he added, "Why is my lord pursuing his servant? What have I done, and what wrong am I guilty of?" Now let's pause right there. Again, David has done the same thing as he did in the cave. We saw yesterday that David went into the camp with his nephew, and he stole the spear and the water jug that were next to Saul's head. He didn't kill him. He didn't allow Abishai to kill Saul. He just brought them back with him. He wanted proof. He wanted some distance, but he wanted proof that he was there. He wanted to show Saul, "I could have killed you again a second time, and I chose not to." He wants to make this case again with Saul. "Twice now I've had the opportunity to kill you. Stop pursuing me. I'm not going to kill you. I don't want what you have." It's not going to be enough for Saul. And I think David knows that, but that's David's plan at least. And so now he's scolding Abner. Abner is the king's general in charge of everything. And of course, David knows Abner personally because they fought together. David served under Abner. He'd been the general for Saul's 3,000 men, his standing army. And whenever the army was deployed, the whole nation of Israel army was deployed. Abner was the commander in chief of all of that. And he's also Saul's, you know, chief bodyguard here this day. And David scolds him and says, "You know, you should have protected your king and you didn't do it. You deserve to die, and everyone with you, all of the bodyguards of Saul, deserve to die." We don't hear from Abner. I'm sure this really shook Abner. I'm sure he's got to think, how did my men and I not wake up? How do we not know that David got in? He must have known. He must have perceived that this was a supernatural event, because how could David and Abishai get into the camp without anybody knowing. Saul would have been in the middle of everything. He's not going to be right on the leading edge of the camp. This has got to shake Abner. Anyway, back to the passage here, verse 19. Now let my lord, the king, listen to his servant's words. If the Lord has incited you against me, then may he accept an offering. If, however, people have done it, may they be cursed before the Lord. They've driven me today from my share in the Lord's inheritance and have said, go, serve other gods. Now do not let my blood fall to the ground far from the presence of the Lord. The king of the Israel has come out to look for a flea, as one hunts a partridge in the mountains. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Come back, David, my son. Because you considered my life precious today, I will not try to harm you again. Surely I have acted like a fool and have been terribly wrong. Verse 22, here is the king's spear, David answered. Let one of your young men come over and get it. The Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord delivered you into my hands today, but I would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. As surely as I valued your life today, so may the Lord value my life and deliver me from all trouble. Then Saul said to David, may you be blessed, David, my son. You will do great things and surely triumph. So David went on his way and Saul returned home. This is a sad moment right here. David, you know, calls out to Saul and he convicts Saul of his guilt. Saul is grieved and convicted. I mean, in the moment, every time this happens, in the moment, Saul is grieved and convicted. The problem Saul has is that he can't turn the corner on that. He can't continue that. It's like we talked about yesterday with forgiveness. You have to continue to choose forgiveness. Every time some offense comes up in your heart, you have to choose again to forgive every single time. And Saul won't do that. In these moments when he realizes how wrong he is, when he's convicted, he can see clearly. And he promises David again, I won't harm you. Come back to me. And David is, he's on to that. There's no chance David is going to return to Saul. He knows that Saul will quickly change his mind. He has no intention. And he doesn't even answer Saul when Saul says, come back to me. David doesn't answer him. He just says, come get your spear. Send someone to get your spear. He's had it. He's given Saul his last chance. I mean, Saul is there to try and kill David. David is giving Saul no more chances. He's not ever going to trust Saul again, no matter what Saul says, no matter the circumstance. He's already determined he's not going to trust Saul ever again. So he doesn't respond to him. He says, just come get your spear. And then David went on his way and Saul went back home. Unfortunately, you know, David was right. David was absolutely right. Saul would have quickly changed his mind, as he has done every single time. Every oath Saul's made, every act of repentance Saul has taken has been overturned. He's gone back on his word time and time again. And David is not going to give him another chance. And unfortunately for Saul and unfortunately for David, that's going to have very negative consequences on both of their lives as we move forward. The Lord has continually told David, go back to Judah, go back to Judah. And here David tells Saul, I keep coming back to Judah, and even my own people are telling me to leave. Go serve other gods. Just get out of here. I mean, how demoralizing for David. He knows that he's the anointed king. And the people of Judah, all the people of Israel know this now. We've heard this from so many different sources. They all know that David is king. And how sad, how tragic that they would rather go with the status quo. They'd rather go with Saul. And part of it is because they're afraid of Saul. They know what he's trying to do to David. And they know that anyone that stands with David is likely to be completely destroyed. They know what Saul did to the priests of Nob. Saul has struck fear, terrible fear, into the hearts of all the Israelites, because he was not afraid to kill all of the priests of the Lord. Everybody knows that. So everyone would rather choose Saul. They'd rather choose their own necks. They don't want this civil war. They don't want a clash over these two kings. So they just tell David, go on, just go somewhere else. Serve other gods. Go be a part of a different nation. Don't be with us. And every time David has given into this, the Lord has told him through his prophets or his through casting lots, the Lord has told him to go back. And he has. And he knows that he's supposed to be in Judah. But after this, he's not going to go back. And unfortunately for David, he's not going to go back. And fortunately for David, he's going to disobey. And it's going to put him in some really, really difficult situations in the coming weeks, months, and years. But that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I really do read them. I appreciate everyone who contacts me via Twitter or email or on the iTunes page. I really do appreciate it. It's very encouraging, and I love communicating with people who are listening. So if you ever have any questions or comments, feel free to email me or send me a message on Twitter, and I'll get back with you. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.